final hymn tonight prior to... Oh, thank you.
Dennis Oakley.
Oh, good. Yeah, I got to get a new one. For our final hymn tonight prior to the message, open up to 164. Most of you won't even need a hymnal for this one. Let's stand and we'll sing all four of John Newton's incredible, amazing grace. Amen? Yes, indeed. We're so thankful for it. Piano sounds good.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Please be seated, church. Think about that. Oh, never-ending bliss in the presence of our Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Great singing tonight, good testimonies, and so good to be in the house of the Lord for a Wednesday night service. Amen? I mean, it's such a blessing. Help get you through the week, and every day's a good day with Jesus. But it's even more sweet and special when you get together with his people. We look forward to Friday night at the pizza shop as well. Well, open up your Bibles tonight to Psalm 119, the Bible's longest chapter. Psalm 119, as we continue on in our exposition, verse by verse, of the greatest chapter of the Bible. Now, folks, as I promised you in week one, we covered the first 8 verses. Tonight we'll cover the second 8. You will grow to love God's word deeper and deeper as we go through this psalm. This psalm, in fact, is divinely designed by God to draw you closer to his word. Every verse, except 2, speak directly of the word of God in one form or another. Amen? And how we love his word. I'm so thankful for a church that loves the book. Amen? And they know the word of God, the King James Bible, is God-breathed. I'm so thankful for that tonight. So let's open up to Psalm 119 as we continue on in our studies. And we're going to pick up the text tonight in verse 9. Look with me in verse 9. Question. And we're coming to the Beth section. That is the Hebrew letter Beth of the Hebrew alphabet. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 9 through 16. And Lord, how we thank you for another 8 incredible verses of Holy Writ that touch our deepest hearts, O God. And we thank you for the sanctification we receive by it. It's a living word. It's a powerful word. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. Lord, we're thankful that we can draw nigh to thee. We're thankful that we have direct access to the throne of the living God through Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that you would bless us as we study these verses, that we would draw even closer to thee and grow to love thy word even more than we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, beloved, as we saw last week, this psalm is divinely designed in that it is composed of 22 specific divisions corresponding to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and with each and every verse of each division beginning with a word in Hebrew that begins with that specific letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In other words, tonight as we study verses 9 through 16, every verse began with Beth in the Hebrew tongue. Now, we come to the second division tonight. All 8 verses begin with the Hebrew letter Beth. So let's dig in now and let's observe a few incredible things concerning these verses. First, I want you to notice the great question proposed. Look with me in verse number 9. Verse 9, David says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Now, notice the first word, "wherewithal." It only appears twice in the King James Bible. Wherewithal. What's it mean? I mean, this word is even used as a saying today. They say, well, I don't know if he has the wherewithal to accomplish his purpose. I don't know if he has the wherewithal. What's that mean? Listen, the Hebrew word for wherewithal means by what means, how, or with what tools may he do it. By what means, how, or with what tools. So he's saying, by what means shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, the great question here is how or with what may a man cleanse, that is, purify his way of living. Now, cleansing implies corruption. It indicates pollution. And this carnal nature is through birth of Adam's sinful flesh. We all have it. Even after we're saved, we have a corrupt, sinful body of flesh to deal with, and it needs to be crucified daily. Amen? And you and I don't have the ability to do that. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is fully able to crucify your flesh and give you victory over sin and to cleanse your way. That's your way of living. Now, listen carefully. David is not speaking here of positional sanctification, which is God's gift to every regenerate person. But he is clearly speaking of one's practical sanctification. The positional sanctification takes place at the moment of salvation. You are positionally sanctified forever in Christ. Okay? That's permanent. But your practical sanctification is a daily, ongoing process of growing in grace and godliness. It is becoming conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is our practical sanctification. This is what David speaks of in verse 9. Go to John chapter 12. Make it chapter 13. Jesus is speaking to his closest disciples here. And watch what he tells them. He's going to show them the difference between positional sanctification and practical sanctification. In John chapter 13, look with me at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Speaking of Judas. Now, folks, here Jesus is pointing out two particular sanctifications. That which is permanent, positional, and that which is ongoing and practical. Okay? He says, once you're clean, look at verse 10. Jesus said to him, He that is washed, that's positional, needeth not save to wash his feet, that's practical, but is clean every whit. See that? Inside, you're clean, you're positionally sanctified forever because you're saved. This is John 13, verse 10. And ye are clean, but not all. So Jesus differentiates that to them between the positional sanctification, which we enjoy as a gift, and the practical, which we need every day. Back to our text in Psalm 119. Now he says, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleanse his way. Observe, secondly, the divine answer given. Verse 9. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, ho, ho! David puts his Holy Spirit-inspired finger right on the very instrument of cleansing. Thy word. Oh, this is so good. I am so thankful tonight that there is a tool that I can use to be cleansed. And you can use to be sanctified. Listen now, here is the absolute key to living a holy life. By making personal application of the Word of God in our daily lives. Did you hear what I said? The key to your practical sanctification is making... Look what he says. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He's saying living according to the word of God will sanctify your walk. It works every time, guaranteed. It's never failed yet, and it never will, because this book is supernatural. Listen to me, folks. You and I need an exterior aid. We need a supernatural power to overcome sin. And God has provided that in his word. In his word. Someone said, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. Right? This book is powerful. This book will clean up your act. This book will sanctify you. This book will make a drunkard sober. This book will make a drug addict clean. This book will make a perverted person sanctified and holy. Why? Because of its holy power within. It's intrinsic in the Word of God. You need something outside of yourself to purify you. And that is what the Word of God does. Now, you and I need an outside aid to make us clean and pure on the inside. Because we have a sinful element called the flesh, which would naturally make us unclean and impure, right? The flesh is by nature corrupt because Adam was a sinner and every one of his offspring are born sinners. That's why we need a Savior. Go with me to John chapter 17. In John 17, watch what Jesus says about our practical sanctification. Look at verse 14. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy what? Word. And the world hath hated them. What? Jesus gave his disciples the word of God and the world hated them. Hello? You're not going to be popular. If you love this book, you're going to be rejected by this world. Look at it. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Aren't you glad you're not of the world? 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, Jesus is going to tell you how you can be kept from evil. Look at it. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What's the next word?
Sanctify
them. Sanctify them by Dr. Phil. Oprah? Church of Christ, baptismal waters? No! Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, ho, ho, ho. There is something that can sanctify you.
Oh, yeah.
The word of God. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. Why, Jesus? That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Listen to me. Don't tell me you have to live a defeated, discouraged, and miserable Christian life. You don't. Jesus said you might be sanctified by the truth. The problem is, if we don't spend enough time in this book, we're not going to be sanctified. You need something to sanctify you, and that is the word of God by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's the only way it can work. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Just thought of a really good verse in 2 Peter chapter 2. I love this verse. 2 Peter chapter 2. Watch what the Bible says in verse 9. What's the first two words?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment to be punished. Folks, the Lord knows how to deliver you out of temptation. You just need to allow him to do so. Amen? Hey, we're all tempted. Being tempted to sin is not sin, you know. It's what you do with the temptation. And we must reject that temptation by the Spirit of God within. Not in my own strength. I don't have the power to do that. But the Spirit of God in me does. How can I utilize that power? By opening this book. It's just that simple. It's not rocket science. I have deliverance through the Word of God by the Spirit of God. It's just that simple. Thirdly, tonight, back to Psalm 119. Notice and observe the requirement for seeking God. Verse 10. Notice the requirement. David says, with my what?
Whole
heart have I sought thee. I love this verse. David says, I didn't seek him just a little bit. I didn't seek him partially. I didn't seek him with a divided heart. I sought him with my whole heart. Beloved, listen to me. God is not a hobby. He is not to be treated like a jack in the box or a genie in the bottle. He must be sought with the whole heart, not just in part. Why? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Flip ahead from Psalms to Proverbs. Look in chapter 4. Here, I want to show you why he needs to be sought with the whole heart, not feignedly and not partially. Look at it. In Proverbs 4, look at verse 20. This is your heavenly Father speaking. My son, attend to my words. There it is. To my words, not Oprah's. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, thy whole heart. For why? For they are life unto those that find them. Yeah, eternal life. And health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, listen carefully. The reason you need to seek God with your whole heart is because of verse 23. Out of your heart are the issues of life. In other words, what Solomon is saying in verse 23 is what is in your heart is going to come out in your life. What you love in your heart, you're going to do in your daily walk. So if you're seeking God with your whole heart, you're going to be doing His will. You're going to be pleasing your Heavenly Father. You're going to be obeying His word and walking in His Spirit. You see that? But it takes the whole heart, because just a little bit going the other way will corrupt you and throw you off course. Did you know that God promises to be found of any soul that seeks Him wholeheartedly? Did you know that? Go to Jeremiah 29, quickly. In Jeremiah 29. Can't wait for you to find the address. Got to run. In Jeremiah 29, whoever gets there first, read us verse 13.
And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Bingo. Who's speaking in verse 13? That's God. And God says, ye shall seek me. David said, I've sought thee. And shall find me when? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. God wants one thing from you. It's not your tithe. It's not your baptism. It's not your church membership. Though all those things are good things. Don't get me wrong. He wants your heart. Because if He has your heart, He has everything else. He has your whole life. Amen? I like what Pastor Bart always said. He said, tithe? It all belongs to God.
That's right.
He said, everything I own is God's.
That's right.
My car, my wife, my kids, my house, it's all His, not mine.
Yeah.
My hands are off it. It belongs to God. Psalm 119 again. In Psalm 119, look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You're blessed if you seek God with all your heart. The most blessed people on planet Earth are those people who seek Him with the whole heart. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's good. Fourthly, tonight in Psalm 119, notice David's prayer for preservation. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, why in the world would David have to make a prayer like that? David was a sweet psalmist of Israel. David was the king. David was a man of God. He was a prophet as well as a king. He was not a priest, but he was a prophet and a king. And he prays, Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. Listen carefully, beloved. Even the sweet psalmist of Israel had to pray for God's preserving grace in his daily life. Folks, the Christian life is work. The Christian life is activity. The Christian life is action. It's not, oh, let me sit under a oak tree and have a sabbatical for a year and hum, hum.
Yeah.
That's exactly where the devil wants you. I've got a kick out of that one. I'm not giving out no gospel tracts. I'm not speaking about Jesus for a whole year. Hum, hum. The devil's going, yeah, I love it. No, it takes activity to serve God. And he says, Lord, keep me from wandering. Listen carefully now. The reason why David had to pray this prayer is simple. Look at the word in verse 10, wander. That word, it's shagah in the Hebrew. It means to stray or swerve aside, to lose one's direction. David said, Lord, don't let me lose my direction. Lord, don't let me stray aside from your will. Lord, don't let me take one step to the right hand or to the left, but let me go straight in your word and will. Amen? Folks, listen to me. Every single one of us have a tendency to wander. My son Stephen, he was a wanderer when he was a little boy. We had to watch him. You know, he might wander right into traffic. We had to keep our eye on him because he would wander. That's how we are by nature. We're wanderers. And God says, focus, focus, and pray to me, and I'll keep you from wandering. But it takes activity, folks. It doesn't happen by accident. Amen? Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 14. In Jeremiah chapter 14, whoever gets there first, read us verse 10.
After
sword drill.
Thus saith the Lord to this people, mm-hmm. thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins.
Now, who is God speaking about in verse 10? Would that be the world, or would that be his own believing people?
His own believing.
That's right, Dennis. It's God's people. And he says they have loved to wander. Look at that. Loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord did not accept them. Folks, listen to me. Your will is involved here. You're not a Calvinist that has no will of your own. You have choice. You have freedom. And you have to choose God's ways. God didn't make them wander. They chose to. And he says they've not refrained their feet from wandering. It's like a little kid. You know, he's going to wander aside. He's going to get himself into trouble if you're not watching him. I'm so glad God watches me. I'm so glad he's watching over us and keeping us from wandering. Fifthly, back to Psalm 119. Observe David's hiding place. I love this. His hiding place is found in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Listen carefully, church. We too must hide God's word within our hearts. Matthew Henry said, and I quote, God's word is a divine treasure worth laying up, and there is no laying it up safely but in our hearts. Matthew Henry, my favorite commentator. He said, God's word is worth laying up, but there's no laying it up except safely in our hearts. Why? Why? Can I take what's in your heart and can I remove it? No, nobody can do that. What's in your heart is safely kept by your heart. Amen? Now go to verse 32. Verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I love that. 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Verse 80. Look at verse 80. We read, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I be not ashamed. Oh, I love that. 111. Psalm, verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, but they are the rejoicing of my heart. What is your heart rejoicing in tonight? What is it that gives you joy and delight and happiness? God. Yay, man, at least one of you. Go read the verse 161. Funny, church. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I love that verse. David says, your word to me, I stand in awe of it. David says, the majesty, the beauty, the glory of your word, Lord, I just stand in awe. Like, wow, the word of God is so awesome. Amen? Oh, that's so good. Why? Because it's his hiding place. Go back to verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Notice the reason why we need God's word in our hearts. Verse 11. That I might not sin against thee. Ooh, here's a preventative that'll work. I don't need a prescription from the doctor. I got something better. I got the word of God. There is no prescription given by any doctor on planet Earth that can keep you from sin. Except the great physician's prescription, which is his word. Amen? Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad that as I hide his word in my heart of hearts, as I make his word my joy and delight, it keeps me from sin. It keeps me from sin. That's the power of this book, folks. That's why I always pound this pulpit and tell you, the word of God is what you need. The word of God is what you need. Because it has the power to sanctify your life. Oh, that's so good. Notice the reason why we need God's word in our heart. Listen carefully. Saved people are afraid of sin. They take great care to prevent it. They take great caution to avoid it because they love God and dread disappointing him. Amen? Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold your place in Psalm 119. We're coming right back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. David says, the word of God will keep you from sin. So true. Look at the reason why. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look with me at verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Notice the last portion of verse 13. It says the word works in those that believe it. Amen. What does he mean by that? It works at doing what? Somebody.
Saving other people.
Saving us, yeah. The engrafted word saves us, but it also keeps us from something.
Keeps us from sin.
Yes.
Keeps us from the conviction.
That's right, Carol. It keeps us from sin. It works in those that believe. It doesn't work in unbelievers. It has no effect whatsoever on an unbeliever. Why? They don't believe it. I mean, that's that simple to understand, right? But it works in you who believe it. It keeps you from sin. You know it's true. Now, something else. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And, you know, I always warn you about the 3:16s in the Bible. Here's another great one. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is, notice the word is, not was, it is. Because when you're reading it, God is speaking to you. Present tense. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, that's spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He says that book will keep you from sin. Oh yeah, it's true. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks. But something else we must notice. Notice David's worship of God. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Psalm 119, look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. I love this. David, in his contemplation of God's holy word, delivering him from sin, breaks out into holy praise and worship. He can't contain himself. He just got through saying that the word of God in his heart keeps him from sin. And now he says, oh, blessed art thou, O Lord. He's worshiping God. Why? Because God's keeping him clean and sanctified. Amen. You know what, folks? As the Lord keeps us clean and godly, we worship him more. Because we're so grateful for the grace of God that keeps me from falling. Listen, God's people are the most grateful people in the world. Because we've got a heavenly Father that, like the sparrow, keeps us from falling. Amen? And that causes us to worship him. I preached this past Sunday on the preaching of the lilies. The preaching of the lilies. They're so thankful to their maker because he made them so beautiful. They preach to us. And this is David worshiping the Lord in verse 12 because of his divine preservation of his life. That's so beautiful. Look in Psalm 134. Somebody, look at Psalm 134 and look with me at verse 1. 134 verse 1. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Hey folks, it's nighttime and you're standing in the house of God. Amen? Look at it. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and what?
Bless
the Lord. Worship the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. We bless him and we praise him and he blesses us. Wow. It's reciprocal. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts. Hey, notice David doesn't appeal to the world out there to praise God. Who's he appealing to? Ye, look at it, verse 2. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord. You're in the house of the Lord because you belong to him and you love him. Watch what he says. Even the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. That'll preach. G-I-G-A-T-T. Amen. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. It is pleasant. Oh, the name of the Lord is so pleasant. And we love to worship him because of all he does for us. But something else. Observe David's desire to learn more from God's Holy Spirit. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Notice in verse 12, David's desire to learn more of the word of God. He's seeking the deep meat of the word here. Beloved, do you have a heartfelt desire to know God's word deeply and intimately? I mean, do you love this book so much that you can't get enough of it? Do you love this book so much that you want to learn more and more and more? That fellow from Cambodia last night called me and said, Pastor, I love your prayer. I love the word of God. And he says, I want more and more. I want to learn more and more. I said, amen, brother. Keep on listening. Why? Because like David, he says, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Go to verse 26. Verse 26. Someone read that.
I have declared my ways, and thou hearest me. Mm-hmm. Teach me thy statutes.
Teach me thy statutes. Someone read verse 64. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, she has it.
No, the earth. I thought I had 64.
64, yeah.
Okay. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Mm-hmm. Teach me thy statutes.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Somebody read 68.
Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes.
Over and over again, he's asking for it. 108. Someone read 108.
Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment.
Teach me, Lord. Teach. Do you have a teachable spirit? You know, these guys in the pulpit, I know better than you. Don't tell me. I know this Bible backwards, and I've read it through 300,000. Be quiet, man. You know, if you don't have a teachable spirit, God can't teach you anything. Hello? Somebody read 124. 124.
Deal with thy servants according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes.
Teach me thy statutes. 135.
Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes.
Oh, I like that. As we learn the word of God, his face is shining on us. His Holy Spirit is filling us. Somebody read 171.
My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me.
Notice what happens when you learn God's word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. I love that. I love that because you worship him as he teaches you. Oh, glory. Something else. Notice here in verses 13 through 16. We'll finish up. In verses 13 through 16, David shifts gears. He starts speaking in the past tense. Now, he's reflecting upon the testimony of his good conscience. And in doing so, he mentions six incredible things. First, he mentions that he had edified others with what he had been taught out of the Word of God. Look at verse 13. David says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. Now, notice here, David did not hide God's Word from others, from those around him. And truly, church, those that are fed with the bread of life should, with their lips, feed others. Amen? When you learn something from the Bible, share it with somebody. Now, let me show you what God taught me in his word last night. Listen now. He loved to share God's word. Go to Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is giving the eight parables of the sower. The parables of the sower and the parables of the kingdom. And look what he says in Matthew 13 at verse 52. Then said he, Jesus, unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasuries things new and old. He's saying, one, a person who is instructed out of the Word of God is like a householder who brings forth glorious truths, both new and old. He's saying from both testaments of Scripture, you're bringing forth truths to somebody else. Amen? You're sharing the Word of God. Secondly, back to Psalm 119, not only that he loved to share God's Word, but secondly, that David had great joy within because of God's Word. Look at verse 14. I have what?
Rejoiced
in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Now, listen, folks. David rejoiced in his constant course of obedience to God's word. He rejoiced in the serious path of godliness which God's commandments chalked out to him. He rejoiced in that. He counted God's word as his greatest treasure. Amen? Oh, I love that. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He says, I don't care how much silver and gold they might accumulate. I rejoice in your word. Your word is what gives me delight and happiness within. Something else. Go to verse 162. In 162, we read, I what?
Rejoice
at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I love that. It's like that guy on the beach with the metal detector. Beep, 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 beep. And then all the beep, beep, beep. And he stops because he knows there's something down there. Why? He wants some buried treasure. He wants something valuable. He says, that's how, look at verse 162. He says, that's how it is with the word of God. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He says, that's what I want. I want to find the treasure of your word and the meaning thereof. Glory to God. Something else, though. Thirdly, David believed in meditation. What? No, not transcendental. None of this New Age garbage. Look with me in verse 15. Verse 15. I will what?
Meditate.
Did you know that meditation is scriptural? It all depends on what you're meditating on.
Yeah.
There is a scriptural meditation that is biblical. Anything else is out of bounds. This Kundalini spirit, the yoga, the transcendental meditation, New Age movement, it's all garbage. It's of the devil. But meditation upon this holy book right here, oh, that's something special. I will meditate in thy precepts. Wow. I will meditate where? In thy word. Oh, beloved, listen carefully. There is a sanctified meditation. It is upon the word of God. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Hold your place. We're coming right back. Joshua. You know the situation. Moses is dead. And God raises up a man named Joshua. Amen? Look with verse 8. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what?
Meditate
therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Do you want good success in your life? Meditate in God's word. Focus on God's word. Let God's word become a part, an intimate, deep part of your heart and soul. And it will make you successful and prosperous in your life. Go to Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. Look at the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what?
Meditate.
Woo! There it is. Day and night. Meditation upon God's word. Upon God's word. The only thing worth meditating upon is God's word. You know, y'all, I love y'all. And y'all, you know, you give me these books and pamphlets and things to read. And I appreciate it. I really do. Folks, I can't read them all. I can't read them all because I got to spend my primary focus in this book right here. I love the things you give me. But if I say I have too many things going on right now, please don't get offended. It's just that I've got to have this book. I've got to meditate in this book day and night. Day and night. I love that. Now, something else I want you to see. Notice here, fourthly, that David had respect. He respected God. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Have respect unto thy ways. Now, folks, listen carefully. We're living in a day and age where people no longer respect authority. We're living in a time where people have no respect whatsoever for the police, no respect whatsoever for leadership, no respect for the teachers in the school, no respect for the pastor, no respect for anyone in a position of authority. Do you know that everything in the universe runs on authority?
Yeah.
There is a chain of authority all the way up to God. And if we don't find our place, our link in that chain, we're going to be all out of bounds. Even in the house, you know, in a Christian marriage, the man is supposed to be the leader. Now, even less do they respect God and His divine authority. There's no fear of God these days. Go to verse 6. In verse 6, look at it. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Verse 117. Look at verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes and continually. Listen to me. The Hebrew word for respect is nabah. Nabah. It literally means to hold in high regard, to consider and pay attention to. He's saying, I am going to hold God's word in the highest regard in my life over everything else. God's word is going to be the pinnacle. Everything else is going to revolve around that. That is my priority. Amen? That is my number one. His word. His word. I have high regard for it. I pay attention to it. I nabah it. Amen? Go with me to... it amazes me what some folks have respect for. What some folks esteem valuable. That we were driving by the Verizon... The Verizon Stadium on the way to church tonight. And the sign said, Janet Jackson coming in concert. Janet Jackson, the pop star, you know. So out of curiosity, I went on my laptop and I Googled it. Janet Jackson at the Verizon in Manchester. Just out of curiosity. You know what the tickets cost for the first, how much? $150. Oh, for the first 26 rows on the floor, $1,335 a piece. A piece. $1,335 a piece. First 26 rows on the floor. For see Janet Jackson singing her garbage of the world. This is what the world holds in high esteem, okay? I tell you what, I hold this book, and it's free. It's free. Oh, man, I got something so much better than Janet Jackson. I got the Word of God. It's all I need. Glory to God. Something else, though. Notice that, fifthly, God's Word was David's daily delight. Look at verse 16. Psalm 119. Look at verse 16. I will what? Delight myself in thy statutes. Now, this is amazing to me that David looked at everything that everybody was delighting in, Janet Jackson in the world and Obama and all this, and he says, you know what? I have my delight in this book right here. I love to bury my nose in it and have it in my heart and my heart in it. It's my delight. It's my delight. It's my joy. It's what gives me, it's what makes me tick. Amen? Now, go with me to verse 24. In verse 24, somebody read that.
Thy testimonies also are my delight and
yes.
My counselor.
Yes, my delight and my counselor. 77, someone.
Let thy tender mercy come into me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight.
Hey, I love the way she read that with that sweet voice, Rita. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thy law is my delight.
Amen.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. Psalm 37, verse 4, don't turn there. David said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because as we delight in the Lord and in his word, the desires of our heart will be the will of God, and he'll give it to you. Amen. Finally, sixthly, notice that David made a resolution to never let God's word slip from his heart and soul and mind. Verse 16, a resolution. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. Beloved, we too, like David, must resolve to never allow the word of God to grow cold or unimportant in our lives. It must be our focus. It must be our drive. In Psalm 9, verse 17, don't turn there. It says, the wicked and all them that forget God shall be turned into hell. You don't want to forget God. You don't want to forget His word. Because those who do will be turned into hell. Oh, that's a sad, sad verse. Look in Psalm 50. Quickly, we'll finish up. In Psalm 50, look with me at verse number 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. David says, you better make a consideration. You forget God, he'll forget you. You know, we're living in a time where people don't want God they don't want God interfering in their routine. You know, I got my drinking buddies and I would go down the bar room and then we go over here to the bowling league and then we have, you know, all this shop time, dirty talk. I don't want God interfering. Well, it says here, don't forget God. If you forget God, you might be torn in pieces. Whoa. Psalm 78. Quickly, let's finish up. In Psalm 78, look with me at verse 7. Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Asaph's prayer in Psalm 78, written by Asaph. Asaph says, I want the next generation not to forget God, but to keep his precepts. Psalm 103. Finish up here. Psalm 103. And look with me at verse 2. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Amen, sister. Because we know that God daily loads us with benefits. You know, folks, we have a tendency as human beings to forget. We're forgetful creatures by nature. So we need to remember. Amen? Forget not. Back to Psalm 119. Let's finish up. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Yes, beloved, let's be like David. And let's hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the word of God in these precious verses. Lord, it truly draws us closer to thee. It causes us to love your word more and more. And we thank you, Lord, that like David, we too have made a resolution to never, ever let your word slip from our hearts. Lord, we must daily fill our hearts and souls and minds with the word of God. And we're so thankful, Lord, that as we do, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, as we fill ourselves with the word of God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for that tonight, Father. Bless us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Oh, yeah, 66. Hymn 66. All four. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Frey, we already sung that one. Did we sing that one?
No, we sang 68.
Oh, we sang 68. Yeah, 64. I'm sorry, 66 we'll sing. All four. Yes. Sir Isaac Watts again.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, the richest gain I count was lost.
from his head, his hands, his feet. So listen. The Lord. Great singing tonight, folks. Praise the Lord. For those of you who cannot stay for the prayer meeting, you can be dismissed after we close in a word of prayer. And those of you who can stay for the prayer meeting, we're going to pray in twos tonight. Partner up, ladies and guys. We're going to ask Brother Dennis Carrignan Jr. to dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you, Father, for giving us this church family.
Amen.
Help us to see thy truth and help us to understand, to gain knowledge every day in your word. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget Friday night at Sal's Pizza. 7:30, church. 7:30 for pizza.